ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. We are the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Aaron Raybould on the side of the glass. The master controls at Aaron is blitzed at ESPN 975 on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You know, there were three main rule changes the NFL is going to implement. And like I said, I think the biggest one has to do with the replay official having some more authority and having the right to buzz down on the field and say, "Hey, stupid, you kind of missed this one that the whole damn world could see except you." The number thing will be fun. The onside kick remains to be seen how much of an impact that has. But every time the NFL gives us something, the NFL always has to take something else away. Because that's the NFL. And there is absolutely nothing in this league that I need to see less of. Or rather, I need to see more of. I do not need to see more penalties. I hate penalties. Unless it's a major infraction, I don't want to see it. And isn't that how we treat holding? Unless it's an obvious, blatant, massive hold, whatever. You know, unless it's blatant, impactful pass interference, let it go. Well, Rich McKay is the chairman of the competition committee. And apparently he said today the league has gotten, quote, too lax in taunting. And immediately I wanted to smash my computer. McKay said the face-to-face, the pointing of fingers, the standing over players on the ground, these are going to become new points of emphasis in the NFL this year that McKay wants the league to crack down on and throw flags on every time this happens. And bloody flipping hell, why? Fans like that stuff. The players like to be demonstrative. Fans eat that up. Why would you take it away? He said they're not going to penalize guys for celebrating touchdowns. But anything that represents poor sportsmanship towards an opponent will be flagged this season. I don't need more flags. And you know what? If you don't want the other guy taunting you, don't lose. Don't get beat. Or when you beat that guy, taunt him back. Fans love to see that. I mean, I'll tell you what, one of my favorite plays was Juju Smith-Schuster laying out Vontaze Burfict on a crackback and then standing over him like Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston. That was awesome, because no, Vontaze Burfict been the dirtiest player in the game for the last 15 years. That dude really had no business being in the league for as long as he was, because everybody knows he's a dirty, cheap shot artist. Very apropos that the one time the Bengals had a chance to win a playoff game against the Steelers with A.J. McCarron at quarterback, leading the late fourth quarter touchdown drive to take the lead. And it was Vontaze Burfict, one of the two Bengals, getting stupid-ass 15-yard penalties back-to-back. Him and Pac-Man Jones, another dumbass, that put the Steelers in field goal range so they could kick a game-winning field goal with basically no time left. That was their best shot to win a playoff game in the Marvin Lewis era, and Vontaze Burfict ruined it because he's a dumbass. There's no room for the dirty plays. Let these guys talk junk, flex, point, dance. People love that stuff. Why do you take that away? It's like the NFL really has no idea who the hell its viewers are. They don't know who their fans are. It's the same league that, well, we're not going to have helmet-to-helmet collisions. And then what plays on every single NFL promo? The crack of helmets slamming together. Does anybody in the sound of my voice want to see more taunting penalties? Anybody at all? I'm going to be very stunned if that answer even has one yes. I don't care about the taunting. I care about the fact that you don't have full-time officials, so they're not in ref school all off-season, so they can all learn how to call the same play the same way on each crew, so we can have consistency from crew to crew, so that when a specific play comes up that last year your guys screwed up, now the whole league will know how to call it right. Now, we can't do that with our $18 billion in income. Now, we can't do that. Hey, let's throw some more flags and slow the game down because that's what people want. I'm perfectly fine with taking Rich McKay behind the woodshed and just beating him. Let Adrian Peterson do it. He knows a little something about that. I don't want any more of that. That's just stupid. Something interesting that's been going on. Remember Eric Reed's last year in Carolina. So not 2020, but 2019. How he was basically being drug tested every week by the league. And he'd tell you, got another PED test. They tried to get Eric Reed every single damn week because they wanted, in the worst way, to be able to say, that kneeler, he's a cheater. Get him out of here. They wanted to be able to get rid of him for some kind of legit reason, but they didn't have one. Eric Reed's just a really good player that the league is trying to force out of the game because, he dared to take a knee. Well, A.J. Brown of the Titans starting to feel like that. He's played 2 years in the league. He's gone over 1,000 yards each season. And he said he's already been tested 3 times since the season ended less than 3 months ago. He went on social media, NFL, will y'all please leave me alone with these drug tests? Third one this offseason. I don't even drink protein milk. Chill on me. 2 seasons, 19 touchdowns. Yeah, that's probably not why he's getting drug tested. These drug tests are supposed to be random. Well, there's really kind of no way that you could be randomly selected damn near every week like Eric Reed was. There's no way you could be selected 3 times in 3 months in the off season. Just randomly. I mean, what are the chances of you hitting Powerball, I don't know, 3 times in your life? It's never going to happen to anyone, ever. Also, it seems there might be a lot of media people that owe apologies to Raiders owner Mark Davis. Davis authorized from the Raiders Twitter account, said, "I can breathe," and it had the date of the finding of guilty of Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd. And the reason he put that was because Floyd's brother, Philanese, had made a statement basically using those words. So he wanted to use the words to, you know, with George Floyd's brother to symbolize, hey, we're with him. And a whole big shebang got brought out on Twitter because apparently, you know, the I can't breathe shirts. Apparently, cops made I can breathe shirts. I didn't even know about that until today, by the way, that cops made I can breathe shirts. Apparently, Mark Davis didn't know about it either. But George Floyd's brother came out and thanked the Raiders for their support and backed the tweet. So everybody who bashed the tweet and bashed Mark Davis, oh, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's insensitive. He's a jerk. Well, George Floyd's brother thanked him for putting it up there. A lot of people going to owe Mark some apologies. I'm not a fan of let's take everything somebody tries to do with a good spirit and let's try to turn it into something negative. The whole gotcha thing. That to me is maybe one of the worst things to social media. This gotcha that everybody's trying to, I gotcha. Everybody wants to be the gotcha guy on social media. Those are the people who are the reason why social media sometimes sucks. We don't need any more gotcha. Maybe a little unity, maybe a little tolerance, maybe a little solidarity. No more freaking gotcha crap. Coming up next, fines are coming. Maybe suspensions. It's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, the other day we learned the Rockets' Sterling Brown was assaulted on Sunday in Miami. And the Rockets released a statement saying that, you know, he was involved in an altercation with people he didn't know, didn't have previous interactions with, had some lacerations on his face, was expected to be fine. He wasn't going to play because of the knee injury he's dealing with, had nothing to deal with what happened. Seemed like kind of a minor thing, no big deal. But then today we learned something very, very different. This wasn't a minor altercation. Sterling Brown got jumped by a significant number of people. According to The Athletic, he was at a strip club. And coming out of the strip club, he went to get into a Sprinter van on his way out of the club, and it turned out he got in the wrong van at first. And the people who were in the van, well, they were exceedingly hot and bothered that Brown apparently got in the wrong van. And all of those people which is worded as being a minimum of three or more individuals. Jump Brown, beat him up, supposedly one hit him over the head with a bottle. Outside the Booby Trap Strip Club. And while fortunately he has been discharged from the hospital and he is expected to make a full recovery, there's a few things that we learned today that we didn't know. Number one was that there was concern that Brown might be, like, his life might have been in danger, that there was a lot of blood, that he needed a lot of stitches, and he was really beat up, and they were afraid there was some kind of, like, serious head injury or things like that from being smashed over the head with a bottle. We learned that apparently the NBA told players as part of their COVID protocols, not allowed to go to clubs. By the way, that includes strip clubs. And they weren't really supposed to be there. Then there's this little thingy. According to the CBA, it says players are required to cooperate with investigations of alleged player misconduct conducted by the NBA. Failure to do so in the absence of a reasonable apprehension of criminal prosecution will subject the player to reasonable fines and/or suspensions imposed by the NBA. Now, in this situation, certainly would not seem to be that Sterling Brown would be facing some kind of criminal prosecution. It seems unreasonable that getting in the wrong van leads to getting the hell kicked out of you by a group of people. But these things happen outside of strip clubs. However, there's also reports out there that the Rockets told players not to cooperate with the NBA. That's a big no-no. Not only can the players possibly be looking at fines and or suspensions because, well, Sterling Brown was getting beat up and Kevin Porter Jr. was out there trying to get him out of that situation. Other players had also been there but had left a little earlier than those guys did. But if the team directed them not to cooperate with the NBA, I'd say there is a team fine coming as well. Now, why would the team tell players not to cooperate with the NBA? Look, if you got players who are at the strip club and they violated the COVID protocols, they got to deal with it. You would think guys, especially on the Rockets, where, you know, Daniel House, who's still on the team, had an issue last year in the bubble breaking COVID protocol and got sent home, that this team would have special instructions on not breaking COVID protocols and potentially putting the team at risk. You would think. Not today. And look, obviously we are very happy that Sterling Brown is supposed to make a full recovery and that he was not injured worse than he was. His health, obviously the number one part of this story. And the fact that whoever attacked him should be brought to justice. But here we've got a significant number of Rockets players breaking COVID protocol. The team deliberately stayed in Coral Gables instead of Miami Beach to keep the team away from the nightlife. So they went and got cars and went down to the nightlife anyway. So that was pointless. And then what seems like a very innocent situation somehow turned into a very violent one. Look, these things happen outside of strip clubs. Especially late at night when the alcohol has been flowing hard. But for a team that has the worst record in the NBA, could maybe you put a little extra time into working as a team or on practice or watching video as opposed to, hey, we're not supposed to go to the strip club, but we suck. Let's go to the strip club and let's stay out really, really, really late and hope nobody notices. And when they do that, obviously they put themselves at risk for corona. They put their teammates at risk for corona. They put their opponents at risk for corona. They put the officials at risk for corona, all the staffers, everybody around the bench. Like, this is just straight up selfish. Now, I have nothing against guys who want to look at boobs because most guys want to look at boobs. Fred and AJ were doing this thing earlier on the show where they were talking about like men and women's biggest fears in bed, and one of them was a woman like, oh, I don't know if a guy's going to like my boobs. Ladies, no guy has ever said they don't like boobs. Never in the history of the world has a guy looked at a woman and gone, eh, you know what? I know we're going to have sex, but, you know, your boobs kind of suck. It never happened. Big, small, you throw any size, any shape out there, guys like boobs. Okay? If he didn't like your boobs, you wouldn't be getting naked with him. So if you've ever had a guy that wanted to get you naked, trust me, he likes your boobs. I don't have a problem with any of that. But if you are a professional basketball player and your responsibility is to yourself, your teammates, your team, and you've been specifically instructed by the league because of pandemic, do not do the following, and you say, ZFG, bleep that. Well, you kind of deserve to be suspended. Problem, of course, for the Rockets is they stink, and it sounds like half the team was there. And aren't they already, you know, the Houston / RGV Rockets? I mean, look, losing is what we want the Rockets to do. They've got the worst record in the league. We want them to keep the worst record in the league. We want them to have a top four pick. That way they keep it. Hell, maybe they'll even get a shot at the number one overall pick. And wouldn't that be a hell of a story to write? From basically having no picks to enduring an absolutely brutal season that saw them trade their two star players and the team just be absolutely ravaged by injuries to, hey, we got the number one overall pick. Oh, and we got two other picks in the first round as well. And, you know, the Rockets getting on track to being a really exciting young basketball team with some nice young players and maybe one really big young star to go along with a nice young player in Christian Wood, developing young player in Jayshon Tate. You know, they could become a team that's got some nice young players, probably still a year or two away from really being competitive, but you could see a foundation. There's a reason to watch the Rockets again because they'd have, let's say, their pick, number one guy overall, to be the new centerpiece of their franchise. And now you've got a reason to go out there and watch this star young player every night as opposed to not knowing who the hell the Rockets are going to play tonight or whatever other night. But a lot of Rockets at a strip club when they're not supposed to be at a strip club. And then one of them winds up getting jumped. I think the league has a lot of stuff they're going to want to check out in this. You know, I always love when Mad Max gives his rants and whatnot. Well, apparently he called this one superstar a dirty Mary Francis, and we'll get to it next.
Yeah, we at the top floor right there off Doheny. Yeah, oh no, I can't fuck with y'all.
Yeah. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
I want to take a minute to tell you about our friends out at 500 Golf Center, Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. You know, you guys have been getting so good at golf, you've actually been able to outdrive their top Tracer outdoor driving range to the point where they have to renovate it. They got to redo it. So it's temporarily closed. And it all reopens with a huge Cinco de Mayo party on May 5th with specialty drinks, special food menu, live music, and all the golf you can handle. Cinco de Mayo at 5 under. And also, if you want to get into the Top Golf Swing Suite, well, they're still open. And they got some great specials on those. $30 if you get there before noon. $40 if you're there before 5 o'clock. $50 after 5. No rental club fees in the Swing Suite. And, of course, you have the Sim Bays, a great restaurant and full-service bar. And all kinds of great stuff. Go to the website, 5undergolf.com. That is the number 5undergolf.com, where you can check out all the events, including the big Cinco de Mayo bash, May the 5th, starts at 5:30. Go get your tickets. They're going to have VIP bays available as well. Get your tickets, register for that. 5undergolf.com, College Street in Beaumont. Quarter mile north of I-10, 5 under Golf Center, Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. Now, I know most of you have some kind of Vernon Maxwell story, why you love him, why you don't love him. I think most of you love him. And you probably got some kind of Vernon Maxwell story that involves Michael Jordan, because I know Rocket fans love to say, hey, the Rockets during that first three-peat, the Rockets, well, they beat the Bulls 5 out of 6 times. And Michael didn't want the smoke from Mad Max. Well, if you follow Mad Max on Twitter, he's usually talking trash on the entire state of Utah, the city of Salt Lake, the Jazz in general. He's a funny follow. Well, he went on the Real Ones podcast, which is on The Ringer, with Raja Bell and Logan Murdoch. And Mad Max goes on this crazy rant on Michael Jordan, where he basically called him a dirty Mary Francis. Now, usually you don't get to call Michael a Mary Francis very often. He said, when you play against that Mary Francis, you got to be a little different.
Roger, no, you know, when you play against that motherfucker, you got to be a little different. You can't go in that motherfucker game like passive and like that motherfucker. He can sense a motherfucker you scared. He's a killer out there, man, and he's a dirty motherfucker. But I'm just saying, yeah, he was. I mean, you have to be, man, to be that great, man. I mean, yeah, night in, sure. Night out, you have to be a dog and have to have that grit, that dirty shit and all that. So. I mean, Roger know what I'm talking about.
It's almost like Samuel Jackson with the Southern accent, dropping all them NFs. But, you know, just because I know how, you know, since I've been down here, I'm down here 8 years. Rockets fans hold this belief that the Bulls couldn't beat the Rockets. Now, of course, they never played the Rockets in the finals because the Rockets didn't get there. But they've all held this belief of, oh, the Rockets would have beat the Bulls, and Michael didn't want to play against against Max. You know, and there's you know, this game from 93 where Michael Jordan was 12 of 27 from the field, which is what, like 42% or something like that. And how somehow, oh, well, you know, Vernon Maxwell held him to 12 of 27. I'm like, all right, that's like 45% from the field. That's not a bad night. Not an elite night, but it's not like, oh, he shot 45%. He sucked. Quite understand how that is supposed to be. Oh, well, you know, Max owned him. I think Vernon Maxwell was a hard-nosed player. He was a very gritty, tough defensive player who could get hot from three, streaky shooter. But when he was hot, he was hot. And he'd hit everything, good shots, bad shots. Kind of reminds you of J.R. Smith in that manner. When he's hot, he can hit from anywhere. And when he's cold, can't hit anything. Only, you know, Max played defense and JR occasionally went the wrong way with the basketball in crunch time in the NBA Finals. Those things happened. But Max is a great follow on Twitter. And I thought that little quickie rant on Michael was awesome. He's a dirty Mary Francis. Now, I don't know if Michael's going to have to come out and say something because we all know there's no petty like sports petty. And that pettiness, you know, it always comes out. There's absolutely no way that, oh, we're just going to let this go, or we're just going to let that go. You know, that super petty nonsense is always going to come out. And for as great a player as Michael is, did he not give the absolutely most petty Hall of Fame speech of all time? It's like, hey, I'm up here to get my gold jacket. Let me tell everybody how much better I am than they are. Like, dude, you just had one of the most amazing careers ever, and you're going to use your Hall of Fame speech to talk crap on people. That is the ultimate petty of petty. Now, there are probably some Rockets fans who are not upset. James Harden is dealing with a hamstring injury, and apparently he had a setback. And now he's out indefinitely. I don't have any ill will to James Harden. And if James Harden can win a title as a Net, God bless him, because he wasn't winning it here. He is arguably the second best Rocket of all time. Let him go get a ring. And we talked about how this condensed schedule in the NBA and how it's, you know, we're seeing more stars get hurt this year really than ever before. And it's not just players missing games. It's star players missing games. At, you know, unprecedented levels in the NBA, like, oh, there's nothing going on. There's no issue here. More star players are missing games, so the NBA fined the Spurs for resting players. Because that's the message you want to send in a season where you deliberately condense the season because you got to get the whole season and the playoffs in before the Olympics because, you know, you want your players to represent at the Olympics, which, believe it or not, are still not guaranteed to happen. I haven't quite figured that out yet. I mean, the Olympics are going to be in July. How have we not gotten to all Olympians and all staff and all team members, everybody's just got to be vaccinated? How have we not gotten to that point for COVID for the Olympics? Just get everybody vaccinated. You get vaccinated, you can come. You're not vaccinated, stay the hell home. It's simple enough. The idea, oh, you know, we might not be able to have the Olympics because of COVID again. I feel like they're just setting off alarm bells. But the NBA, who fined the Spurs for resting too many players, Harden is out. They don't know when he's coming back. Kevin Durant is hurt, and he's out. And Kyrie Irving has already missed 16 games this year. The Nets' big three of KD, Kyrie, and Harden have played a grand total of 7 games together this year. And if this wacky season, the way that they've slammed all these games together, and here in the second half, how, you know, back-to-backs, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 7, all these tightly packed games prevent us from getting the best possible NBA Finals, which would be Brooklyn against LA, we're the losers. The fans, we're the losers because we don't get the best series. And after all the nonsense the league has put us through, we deserve to get the best damn series. Healthy Nets, healthy Lakers. Home stretch is next.
Listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Home stretch, it's the Ask Us Anything portion of the program. So speak now or forever hold your peace until tomorrow. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Sports, non-sports. Now is your chance. You got 10 minutes to get your questions in on the HRMP listen line. Before we get into that, I got to tell you about our friends down at the West Bar and Grill. The West is a Beaumont institution. Always a great place to catch any game, anytime. Got a menu with steaks and shrimp, wings and burgers, catfish and more. In fact, Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, those are crawfish nights. Today's a crawfish night. Could be listening to us, watching the games down at the West. You know, of course, they're going to have all your favorite beers and wines and spirits. And whether you're enjoying your meal and your drinks while watching the games or playing the games, West has them all. You like to play pub games? You like to play pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard? You like to play the arcade games? They got all of them. Happy hour in effect all day till 6 p.m. When you get there, ask my buddy Mike Hamilton. Mike is the owner. Mike's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont. It's a half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for events at the West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together. Head to the West, a Beaumont institution. So, as fast as there was a Super League in European soccer, it is already gone. Lasted less time than Kim Kardashian's marriage to Chris Humphries. And actually, with worse fallout. Here's something I don't quite understand. All these guys got together and said, hey, let's make a Super League of like all the richest, best teams and F all these other guys. And if they bitch ZFG, who cares? We're going to make so much money, it's not even funny. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Fans complain, who cares? Let's go forward with this. Okay, we're all on board. Make the announcement. And what, not even 48 hours later, you've already tucked tail and ran and hid in your closets and said, we're sorry, we didn't mean to make you all upset. We'll just go back to doing what you all want us to do. How freaking idiotic is this? I don't know how much time and money they spent in formulating this and getting their sponsors on board and doing all this work. And in 48 hours, you threw it out the window. You bunch of meows. Did you not think that there was going to be backlash? Did you not think that the other clubs that you left behind weren't going to cry like a bunch of babies? Or the leagues that you left behind weren't going to threaten you and say, oh, we're going to punish you for this, that, and the other thing? Call them on it. You don't want all our players in the World Cup? Okay, no problem. Let's see you actually go through with that when all the best players in the world don't play in the World Cup. Let's see how that works. Go ahead, do that. Let's see what your sponsors think about that when you're putting out the B team. Let's see what your sponsors think. Should have called them on it. Gutless. And Aaron and I talked about this on Monday about the idea of, you know, how would this work in college football? If this were to go down in college football, what you saw with all the backlash and the screaming and the threats and who's going to sanction who, all that's going to happen. The NCAA is going to scream bloody murder. They're going to be like, oh, well, we're going to make all you guys ineligible, and we're not going to let any of you be able to play NCAA sports, and we're gonna ban all of you. Dude, we're already out of your league. We don't care. And all those players who are now banned from the NCAA, well, we don't play under NCAA rules. We play under the Division IV Super College rules. And then we're going to go pro, so bleep you. Oh, and we're all going to get paid stupid money because now that we're Division IV, we can all have name, image, and likeness, and the college can pay us if they want. Nobody cares. All the players who are going to be in the Super League, yeah, okay, whatever you're making, we're going to double it. If they don't let you play World Cup, well, you're making twice as much money as you've made before. I don't know. Seems like a win to me. And for them to just fold as fast as they folded, I mean, that is like unprecedented. Hell, the USFL lasted longer in court than these guys did just in public opinion. Because you know what would have happened when they made that Super League? Fans would have watched. The stadium would have been full. And the best players in the world would have played against each other. And it would have been awesome soccer. Instead, meow. One of the things Aaron had found and had shared with everybody is this idea of where the most beautiful McDonald's in the world is. And according to Bro Bible, this McDonald's, well, it was in my backyard. Nassau County, Long Island. New Hyde Park. The Mansion McDonald's, we called it. And the funny thing about it is I've been to this McDonald's dozens of times. In fact, the Mansion McDonald's is right across the street from what used to be the Dublin Pub. Dublin Pub was a really hot bar, night spot, especially Friday, Saturday nights with younger crowds because maybe they didn't really look at your driver's license when they ID'd you. They just kind of let anybody in there. And they had a lot of cheap drinks, and it was basically just a Dublin Pub was like a guaranteed hookup spot. If you went out, you went to the Dublin Pub, you were getting some that night, no matter what. And it was right across the street from that McDonald's. So you could drink like a fish all night long, walk across the street, you know, try not to get killed because you're on Jericho Turnpike and that is a main thoroughfare. So there's a lot of traffic up and down that road at high speeds all day and night. But you can walk across the street. There's a traffic light right in front of that McDonald's for you to get in and out because that's how much traffic goes in and out of this McDonald's. They have to have their own traffic light. You go across the street, slam down a few dollar burgers, go right back to drinking. Get your hand stamped, walk across the street, walk back in, don't have to pay the fee, go right back to drinking. I'm surprised they consider this the world's most beautiful McDonald's because, like, for those of us on Long Island, this was just the Mansion McDonald's. It was a beat up old, you know, big house that they totally renovated. You could sit downstairs, you can sit on the patio, you can sit upstairs. It's kind of cool, but the view is of a really busy road. Pretty cool that I've been there. My in-laws live in New Hyde Park. Whenever I go out there with the kids are like, Dad, can we stop at the Mansion McDonald's? Just because it's cool to them. It's a mansion. It's going to do it for us for tonight. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock. So thank you to our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. My man Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass. Everybody on the Twitch feed. You know, we have a lot of fun on the Twitch feed. We get through a lot of stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of super mega petty in all sports. But UEFA, of course, doing its best to show you how petty they are. Coming up next, the two-time Hall of Famer, Booker T. The Boat, Brad Gilmore. And the Hall of Fame comes up next here on ESPN 97.5. We'll see you tomorrow night, late hitters.
ESPN 97.5.